here with, of course, Luke Ramirez. We are breaking down each and every Metro League as we get ready for the high school football season. We're now joined by the head coach of Castle Park Trojans. His name is Chris Livesay. In your first year, coach, how's the team looking so far?
Good. You know, we're working hard, you know, trying to get back to, you know, where we need to be. You know, kids are working hard. They're ready to play someone else.
It's your first year as a head coach at Castle Park, but you know, give us your background a little bit, how you got into coaching, what made you become a coach, and how you ended up you know, being the head coach at Castle Park today.
Yeah, I've been at it 17 years now. You know, started right when I was 18. I graduated from East Lake High. John McFadden gave me my first job as a freshman coach right after high school, and you know, been at it ever since. Went to Oatside Ranch when they opened in 03 and was part of the first staff there. Was there for a few years and then moved on to Sweetwater, where I was the offensive coordinator for 5 or 6 years. And then since then, did a year in Montgomery, did a year, another year at Eastlake, and then a couple years off, you know, working. And you know, I don't know if I'd ever plan on being a head coach, but, you know, I felt it was a great opportunity, and, you know, it came open, and I felt it was a good fit.
Coach, Luke Ramirez here with the Union Tribune. Tell us a little bit more about, you know, kind of the day-to-day operations coming into your first year as a head coach. You know, what kind of goes on behind the scenes as far as making this program yours?
You know, it's just continuing to grow. I think, you know, I've said probably the hardest part of taking this job was going to be the culture change and kind of changing, you know, just how things are done, and have an expectation to win here at Castle Park. And that was definitely started by the previous staff with Coach A and the past few years, you know, and last year taking a step and winning league and going to the playoffs. But as far as the day-to-day, I'm really just focused on the on-the-field and trying to get the most out of production, out of coaches and players every day. And that's where the focus now.
Talking about some of your players in terms of the 2019 season. Again, you guys won league last year, 6-3 record, Castle Park did. Who are some of the kids that you've already noticed that are going to be impact players for the Trojans this year?
Well, number one, DeMarcus Lewis, making the switch from DB to quarterback this year. He's a senior, and he's really done a terrific job. You know, there's not much experience there for him at quarterback, but he's really taken every step and done everything he's needed to do to prepare himself to lead our team. And, you know, I couldn't have asked for a better kid to be, you know, our captain and our quarterback. He's got a great attitude, he's smart, and he's really done a great job there, you know, just taking the reins and running with him. You know, defensively, we've got a few kids coming back, and we should be pretty strong on the front. Chris Romero is returning, and he was an all-league defensive lineman. He's also going to play some tight end for us. Jose Castro and Robert Abarca are returning. They were both inside linebackers last year. Robert Abarca is going to make the switch to strong safety. And you know, there's a bit of a learning curve there. You know, he was more of an inside box player, and now he's trying to play in space. And so, you know, there's a bit of a learning curve, but he's gotten better every day, and I think he's going to do really, really well there.
Coach, and talk a little bit about participation. I know that was kind of an issue at the beginning of last season. How's it improved since winning league last year?
Yeah, you know, we had, you know, a bunch more kids that were interested in coming out. And we did have, you know, it was a lot of effort doing some on-campus recruiting and going out there and kind of chasing kids down and trying to get them out on the field. And so our numbers have grown a little bit, but we're still kind of battling that. The consistency, you know, the kids coming to practice every day, and like I said, it's just, you know, it's part of that culture change that I talked about. You know, getting kids to understand what it takes to to be part of a winning program, and that's, you know, coming to practice every day and you know, putting, you know, other things aside and making football a priority.
We're here with head coach of the Castle Park Trojans, Chris Olivse, in his first year at Castle Park. Coach, the last thing I'll leave you with here, the Trojans won it last year, the league, that is, with a pretty balanced league between Montgomery, Southwest San Diego, and, of course, San Ysidro. What are some of the challenges you think are going to be in terms of repeating as league champions later on in the season this year?
Well, I mean, it's you know, in our league, you know, I think all of us are in the same boat. It really kind of comes down to who's healthy at the end of the year. So there's a lot that's going to go into the league. We're going to be right in the mix with everybody else. But, you know, I believe we're going to be there competing for a league championship by the end of the season.
Coach Olivse of Castle Park, again, thanks for joining us today. We look forward to keeping an eye on Castle Park throughout the entire season and look forward to hearing from you again later on during the year.
Great. And thanks for having me.
Braden Sprinett here again for another time as we start breaking down the Metro League. We are breaking down the Metro Pacific League on this podcast. It is the Metro Pacific League preview of our high school football podcast. Of course, I am joined by Mr. South Bay himself, Luke Ramirez, joining us again. I've talked about him being in the Little League World Series the first two podcasts, so I got to throw it in there once again. Little League World Series. I got to throw in there right now. It is kind of. I think they're about to start if they haven't started already. What was that experience like for you? You know, playing in the Little League World Series. How was it? What was it like as a 12, 13-year-old kid going out there and, you know, not only playing in those facilities but, you know, playing on TV probably for the first time in your life?
Man, it was quite a ride. I can, as best as I can put it. It kind of just went on and on and on. It's like we really didn't have time to step back and look at a big picture. Obviously, I have now since I've grown up. We're looking at, you know, 10 years later now. It was 2009, so just a really cool experience, and obviously the best baseball experience I ever had. Something I was happy to share with my teammates and my dad, who's one of the coaches, the whole community as well. It was great.
It's something you're definitely going to remember for the rest of your life. I remember, I think it was you against Southeast. I think you hit that clutch home run late. I mean, that moonshot of a home run.
It went about 226 feet. Yeah. 225-foot field, but it was
right
up there.
It was up in the sky for a long time. I remember watching that. You know, South Bay's got a lot of good baseball for sure. We almost had Sweetwater go this year. Kind of ran out of gas there in the West Regional, but, you know, not too far off from you. They had another East Lake team kind of in the same area go to the Little League World Series as well. So, good. We did a little Little League World Series segment of high school football.
Got it in.
We got it in. We got to talk. But you're also a freelance writer for the Union Tribune. I want to give your real title out there. You're a professional title, of course. You also do some stuff for Fox Sports San Diego.
Yep.
Little young, inspiring, you know, broadcaster there. A little get inspired from, you know, being on TV as a young age?
Yeah, that was the plan, was broadcasting right off the bat. Since then, I've gotten in more print, which is where I really like working, getting stuff written out, going to games, being around sports teams in the locker rooms and stuff. It's just my cup of tea for sure.
All right, let's talk about some of the teams that you cover. We've talked about the Metro South Bay, Metro Mesa. Now we're under the Metro Pacific. Not to be insulting or anything, but it's like a caliber-wise, it's not up to the same par as the other two leagues in South Bay or a lot of the other leagues around San Diego County.
Right.
You got Montgomery, San Ysidro, Southwest San Diego, Castle Park. We just talked with Chris Olivse, his first year at Castle Park. He's bounced around from multiple schools, you know, and he finally had an opportunity to be a head coach. Somebody that never really wanted to be a head coach. He never really thought about it, but then the opportunity came around. He thought it was a good fit for him, and we'll see how he does in his first year. I'm already fired up for Castle Park football talking to him, and they are the league champions from a year ago. They got to try to defend their title. They're also the first team alphabetically that we could talk about like we always do. We start with Castle Park. To me, you know, I usually throw out that question, which one of these four teams sticks out to you the most? Mine's Castle Park. I'm sure yours is probably Castle Park at this point. So let's get to Castle Park. They went 6-3 last year. They had a forfeit a couple games due to low numbers. Coach Livesay was saying that that has kind of changed as of late. It kind of changes when you win a league title. All of a sudden, you want to be part of things. You want to play some good football. And they're getting some kids. They're doing a really good job recruiting from their school. And it's going to be a battle for all these teams that we're about to talk about in terms of having depth and having enough kids to get through the entire season. They have come into the negative 48.3 rating, which is the second best rating out of the teams here in the South Bay. And again, it's not about, like, when you see that negative number, you're like, wow, negative 60, whatever it is. It's comparison to the entire country of, right. Like, everybody's got... So, like, the highest rating right now is, like, an 80-something in its modern day up in Orange County, right? And St. John Bosco, which, right. By the way, those teams would just demolish every team that's down here in San Diego. So, take it with a grain of salt what the rating is. It's kind of in perspective around the country. So, negative 48.3. They beat Montgomery, Southwest San Diego, and El Cajon Valley last year with their top wins, according to Cal Preps. Their losses last year, Crawford, Maranatha, and Mar Vista. Looking at their schedule, it is very... it's a schedule that's very capable of going 7-3 in. That's exactly what I have them at. I think they lose to Francis Parker in one of their non-league games. I think they lose to Montgomery, and I think they lose to Crawford. I just kind of teased who I thought was going to win the league by saying Castle Park was going to lose to Montgomery, but I digress. Very bit winnable schedule. They got three teams on there that would have combined 1-39 last year. So they got a really capable schedule of winning a lot of games and putting themselves in contention to win back-to-back league titles.
Yeah, I would agree. The only thing is I know that they're graduating a few key positions from last year that helped them, bounce back from those two forfeits and eventually win, the specific league. And so with the first-year head coach and Coach Livesay, I think it's going to be good for him as far as kind of acclimating to that head coaching position. But as far as guys who are trying to step up in positions, he mentioned a new quarterback in DeMarcus Lewis.
Defensive back last year, making the transition to the signal caller of the offense. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, exactly. And just a few other positions. I think it's going to be tough to... I mean, they'll get their confidence up against this this kind of weaker schedule that Castle Park has in front of them. But I don't think it's going to do them any favors as far as preparing for a team like Montgomery and even Southwest that, could come out of nowhere if you're not ready on a Friday night. That would be my take on the team this year.
Yeah, I think Castle Park comes in second this year. I think 7-3. They're going to have a better record than everybody in their league, right. I think, because of the schedule and because they're better than most of the teams they're going to play on their schedule. Moving on to Montgomery, this is my league champion right here. They went 5-5 last year. I think they go over the hump and go 4-0 in league play, or 3-0 in league play, rather. They got Hoover to start the season off. They went 1-9 last year. I don't think they're going to be any better this year. They got California Military Institute, which I think they can win that game. I think they lose to Crawford, but Crawford doesn't have a lot of guys, so they can easily win that game. Kearney, they're not going to beat. Kearney's really good. Santana, I can see them beating them, but not really. I don't see them beating Mar Vista either. That's kind of the stretch from Crawford to Mar Vista. Any of those games, if you get a win, all of a sudden your season's looking really, really good. Those are like the four spots I can see them losing. And then I think they beat Sweetwater as they play a team from the Metro South Bay League. And then they got league play against San Ysidro Southwest and Castle Park, and I think they sweep through it. I'm looking anywhere between 6-4 to maybe even 8-2 if they can beat a team like Santana or Crawford.
Yeah, I'd agree. Definitely a little bit tougher than what Castle Park is looking at. But that's going to help them, I think, for that Castle Park game, which is ultimately most likely going to decide the champion of this league. I would have to agree with you again. I think we're 3-3 now, with Montgomery going ahead and taking this league after the win in the final week against Castle Park. They're the 1D4 team in this league, and I think that this year they're going to play like it and kind of put last year behind them.
Yeah, so I got Montgomery winning the league. Moving on to San Ysidro. 0-10 last year. JV team went 6-4, so they're just promising. You got some, hopefully some talent coming up through the ranks. I'm not really going over the notable wins and losses. I mean, you just look at their schedule from last year. Negative 63.1 rating. They got 12 guys coming back from their varsity team a year ago. Hopefully that mixed with the guys coming up on JV, they can get some wins here. But this is one of the teams. It's them, it's Claremont, it's El Cajon Valley, it's, you know, maybe Hoover. I mean, these are the teams, these are the schools that are going to have to find, you have to dig through the schedule to see who they're gonna beat. But on the good side, here's the promising thing. San Ysidro does play Claremont, and that's it. They just play Claremont. That's the only promising thing for them. Claremont gets to play El Cajon Valley and San Ysidro. I know El Cajon Valley plays Claremont and another team that they should be able to beat. But it's essentially, you're going to have three teams that didn't win a game last year play each other in some sort of fashion. So one of them is going to get a win. Is San Ysidro a team that can get a win this year? As you look through their schedule, I'll give it to you right now. Let me know when you think they get a win.
Okay.
Mission Bay.
No.
Even with all the distractions that are going on with Mission Bay right now, their head coach has passed away. It's kind of been some distractions, but I agree with you. I don't think they're going to win that game either. Bonita Vista?
No, I don't think so.
At Hilltop?
No.
At Crawford?
That one's tough. What do you think about
Crawford's,
that?
Crawford's going to have some... they're well-coached. Mm. They do have some players. They are going to be good. They're going to be... They play with a chip on their shoulder, and they play for their head coach. Mm. I just interviewed Matt Marquez on another podcast that is on 97throughthefantasy.com. But he was saying their biggest problem is going to be depth. San Ysidro's biggest problem is going to be depth. So there, I'm going to take the most talented team, and it's going to be Crawford, I think, in this situation. So I think Crawford wins that game. So moving on to Claremont, I think this might be their best chance to maybe win a game.
Yeah, I would say so. I think, like you said, it was a long year last year. I think that's the game they got marked on their calendar as far as, you know, it being win day.
Then they got Hoover. Hoover's a team that went 1-9 last year as well. And then they got Sherman Indian from Riverside. So I did my predictions already. I think they could get Mission Bay potentially since it's week one. Mm. With all the things that are going around with Mission Bay, I don't know what's going to happen with that team. I don't know if they're going to either rally and play for their coach or if they're going to just, you know, everything unravel.
Yeah.
I've never been in that situation, but I can't imagine many, 15 to 18-year-olds being able to handle a situation like that. I mean, it's very difficult, when your head coach passes away. Now you got a new coaching. A couple weeks, you had him the whole season. And they were looking really good. They beat Helix in the 7-on-7 tournament at San Diego State. So we'll see how that one goes. It's going to be an emotional game for Mission Bay. Let's just, for case in point, just give Mission Bay the win. I think Mission Bay will win that game. Mm-hmm. And then you got Bonita, loss, Hilltop, loss, Crawford, loss, Claremont, loss, Hoover, loss. I give them a win over Sherman Indian.
Okay.
Why do I do that? We've talked about this before, because their rating on CalPreps is way worse than San Ysidro's is. San Ysidro's is a negative 63.1. They should be able to beat that Sherman Indian team as long as they get through, injury-free. And then you get to league play, and I don't see them winning a league game.
No, definitely not. I think Southwest has enough to get past them in that last game of the year, and Montgomery and Castle Park should easily handle.
I think San Ysidro's ceiling is 2-8. If they beat Claremont and Sherman Indian, I think they can, as much as we don't want to see it, they could potentially go 0-10 again.
Yeah.
Which would be awful. I was talking to Top Dog Chris Smith on our City League podcasts. And I gave him this. I was like, here's the deal. And I was talking mostly because I was giving a team a loss that probably he thinks was going to go undefeated. I said, I do not have anybody go undefeated in my predictions. I do not have anybody lose every game in my predictions, just because, one, that's a tough bet, and two, I don't want to see a team, I don't want to make a team look like they're never going to win a game.
Right.
It's just me. It's my opinion of what I think is going to happen. I can't have everybody go 8-2. I can't have everybody go 10-0. I'm sure I'm going to get phone calls like, well, we're not going to go 1-9.
Yeah.
Prove me wrong. I hope you do, because I hope every team has a great season. It's just, when you got these teams and you got the schedules they play and who they're playing and what they got compared to what they're, what the teams got, there's a lot of factors that go into it, and it's not just me going, well, I just don't think they're good. It's just, it is what it is. So for San Ysidro, I think a ceiling, I think a 2-8 season would actually be a very successful season, in my opinion, for them. Moving on to Southwest San Diego, the last team of the bunch, 5-7 record last year. They beat Vincent Memorial, Claremont, Escondido Charter a year ago, were their top three wins according to Cal Preps. Notable losses, Castle Park, Maranatha, and Montgomery. They enter with a -49.6. Obviously, it's not very good. It's still better than San Ysidro's opening rating, and it's very similar to Castle Park's opening rating of a -48.3. As I go through their schedule, they actually don't play week zero, which is kind of surprising. One of the only teams that are taking the first week off. It's a bye for them. Then they play Vincent Memorial. Then they got Gabrielino. I guess Maranatha Christian, O'Farrell Charter, Claremont, Holtville, Marvis, the Castle Park, Montgomery, San Ysidro. I give them four wins on that schedule. I have them beating that Gabrielino team that I have never heard of before, but again, it's because of CalPreps ratings. CalPreps ranks every team in the United States with the power rating system. The only teams that they don't rank are the teams that are from Mexico because they're not in the United States. I found that problem at La Jolla Country Day. I have no idea what they're playing at. One team from Mexico. I don't remember what they're called, and I have never seen them before, and I don't know how good they're going to be, so I don't know how to predict that game. But for this one, I have them beating Gabrielino. I have them beating O'Farrell Charter. It's going to be tough for O'Farrell Charter to try to get that first win. I hope they get it as soon as possible as they go into their second year of their program. And then I have Claremont as a win, and then I have San Ysidro as a win. So 4-6 for Southwest San Diego. I can't see them going 5-5, so I think 4-6 is their ceiling.
Yeah, the only thing I would add to that is the big rivalry they have with Mar Vista, the Bell game, Battle of the Bell. If I'm not mistaken, I believe historically that's pretty dead even as far as win-loss. And Mar Vista got the best of them last year, so they will be at Mar Vista this year. See if they can swap.
See if they get some revenge on that. I'm going to have to go to Parlatin Sports to go check the history on that, of course. Yeah. Have you checked out Parlatin Sports? Do you know about it? Your mind is going to be blown as they give a little plug to Parlatin Sports. Go to it right now on your laptop. For all of you listening at home, or wherever you are, listening on the radio.com app, listening on the stream, listening on the podcast, of course, on the website, 97 through the Fan SD, as we look at the Metro Pacific. No, are we in the Pacific? Yes, it is the Metro Pacific preview. Anyway, Parlatin Sports has a summary, or what have you, the records of every single season, game by game, for every high school football team in San Diego. So you can go on there right now. You can go to Eastlake. You can go your senior year and see what the scores were of every single game. So if you're ever looking to see how a team does against a team historically, bam, there's your website. All right. You're going to have to do some counting. Yeah. But you can go through it, and it's pretty fun. You can go back to San Diego High, back to like the late 1800s in their first high school football season as well, when they're back playing like three teams, and one of them was USC's junior varsity team.
Wow.
Fun fact, as we went a little bit of a tangent there.
Evening.
Yeah, exactly. You got your reports. You're getting writing up on high school football. When you do your previews of the games this year, or you're digging your breakdowns, like, oh, you can go in and look at it. Castle Park, historically against Chula Vista, is this record and this record. Bam, there you go. There's some extra insight for you.
Perfect. I appreciate that.
But we're talking about the current Metro Pacific League, of course. A little bit of a recap here. I got Montgomery coming in first place, 3-0.
Yeah.
In league play. And then I have Castle Park coming in at 2-1.
Check.
All right. You're going to agree with me again the entire season?
I hate to do it.
Southwest San Diego comes in at 3-1-2. And then I got San Ysidro finishing up 0-3 and in last place in that league. Same page?
Same page.
We've been on the same page for the entire South Bay. But I again, with the South Bay, it's an interesting situation where they got a lot of teams down there, but it seems like they got one top dog team in every league. Right. You got Hilltop in the South Bay League. You have Montgomery in the Pacific. A little bit closer in the Mesa just because of all the talent that's in there, but it's still Eastlake's league to lose. And then Otay Ranch is kind of a close second. You can kind of make the argument that Castle Park is a close second for Montgomery, and then you can make the argument that Chula Vista is the close second for Hilltop.
I would agree across the board. And like you said, it's the South Bay is coming up as far as high school football in the San Diego section. But until it really does, I mean, it's all pretty much cut and dry. You know, you got a lot of historical football teams, football programs, I should say. And a lot
of good football programs down there that, you know, people my age and your age don't even realize were good down there. I'm sure your dad can tell you stories about it. You know, my dad growing up in the East County would have stories about the South Bay teams that he'd have to – that Sweetwater team of the 80s was unbelievable. How good they were. And then you have, you know, go through the list, and you could talk about it. El Camino used to be dominant back in the day. You know, just even in our lifetime, how great was Oceanside when we were in high school.
Exactly.
I mean, an unbelievable team. Right now you're going through the, you know, Cathedral's kind of like taken over the last, you know, decade or so. But for the longest time, that was a easy win for teams playing Uni and playing St. Augustine. Now, St. Augustine and Cathedral Catholic are two of the toughest teams to play in the league. Lincoln, back in the day, unbelievable. They went through a dark spot. Now they're coming back and being good as well. It's amazing how things come full circle here in San Diego high school football. How bad was San Diego High when we were in high school? I mean, they couldn't even win a game. Now they're winning CIF and state championships. I mean, it's great to see. You love to see the teams turn around. You want to kind of see the historical programs kind of get back to where they were, though.
Yeah, I'm excited to cover this this South Bay area this year, and I'm going to do my best to get, you know, all the little nuggets and bits and pieces out of it, and we'll see how it goes.
We look forward to your reports on the High School Football Show on 97 Through the Fan each and every Wednesday night from 9 to 11. Myself, Braden Ciprenet, as well as Coach John Quintero. Of course, it is his show, if you will. We'll also be doing podcasts throughout the remainder of the season. We'll be doing a girls podcast. We'll talk about field hockey. We got field hockey. We got volleyball coming up. If you wanted to let me know on South Bay girls volleyball and what have you down there. I know they got some really great. Eastlake's got a good program. Otay Ranch has a good program. Modern Day's got a good. Got some good volleyball down there in the South Bay as well. We'll talk field hockey, all that sort of stuff. That will start the week of the first games for football. That is the week of the 23rd. We'll start doing cranking out our girls podcast. We'll also do some other boys podcasts. I'll give some shout outs to other sports. We can't be talking about football all the time.
Right.
I got to talk to you about the springtime. Maybe we can talk about some baseball.
We'll talk Little League baseball.
Yeah, we talk Little League baseball. Yeah. We talk about how great that is your wheelhouse, because Eastlake is one of the best high school baseball programs around and still around as of even this last season. We digress, though. That was the South Bay or the Metro Pacific League. Thanks again to Chris Livesay for joining us today on the program. We're fired up about Castle Park. We're fired up about high school football in general. He is Luke Ramirez. He covers high school sports for the Union Tribune, freelance writer. What else do you do for them? Mostly high school stuff?
Mostly high school for now. We'll see where it goes from there.
Mix it in with just football, or you got other sports too?
I did a few other sports last year. I definitely want to get more on the baseball scene. Obviously, that's my thing. Basketball should be probably fun as well. So
you got to cover the girls' sports too, man. They got some good talent down there as well.
Yeah.
And I know wrestling is very big down in the South Bay. From all the years I've put together covering high school sports here in San Diego. He is Luke Ramirez. I'm Braden Ciprenet. We're going to be broadcasting high school football each and every Friday night starting next week on August 23rd with Granite Hills visiting Poway. The schedule is out. It's on our website. It was also on a UT article. There you go. Another shameless plug for the Union Tribune. So you can see our schedule there. We're looking forward to the high school football season. Keep your coverage for high school sports right here on 97.3 The Fan.